Okay, it's good practice, huh? When you come here, any time when you come, you pay respect to Lord Buddha. So it's a very good practice. Then every time before you leave, you pay respect. That will be very good training. Every time you do that, you not only renew your what they call faith, sadha, but you train your mindfulness. Then you develop meritorious action through the reverence or what they call respect that you make to the Buddha. So the 38 blessings, reverence is one of them too. And there are many, many things that can bring about blessings. So okay, we wait for the rest, then we can start. One more minute, we wait one more minute. So in the meantime, those who are here, you can just silence your mind, and after that, meditate for a while, maybe 1 minute's time, we will start. Okay, so very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. I was told that clock is a bit fast, so now it's about 2 o'clock. So I rejoice with all the wholesomeness. I hope you all have a good lunch. How is the lunch? Yeah, very good. So we should thank everybody who brings forth the condition for such good wholesomeness to arise, and at the same time for us to rejoice and to have a good meal. Then the other thing about this gathering of Kalyanamita ship's purpose is it not only present an occasion for us to have our fellowship, to get to know each other and to do all the wholesomeness and to rejoice, but you can also exchange understanding, information, cultivation, so that you can bring forth the condition to counsel, motivate, and support each other while walking the path of Dhamma. Understand that? That is very important. Don't be selfish. If people are new, you should rejoice and introduce yourself and talk to them, because when you are new, you came. It's the Kalyanamita who actually help to bring forth the condition for you to come together and learn the Dhamma. So it's now your time to help other people. Then for those who are already more senior, or I should say more advanced in your cultivation, you will also understand, you will also know your nature, your character is different, and you will know how to see the appropriate condition, and you know how to manifest and support and help in many, many ways. So all this you will come to understand. Then as your Dhamma understanding grow, as you develop more and more understanding and wisdom, you realize you start to transform inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly is wisdom wise, understanding wise. Outwardly is your character, your whatever personality, and the way you live your life, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you arise your thought, and the way you bring about condition for things to arise is all very different. And you are known. Then the other thing that I need to explain is, for us living beings, I already explained before, our human body, if you study biology, you know, how much water component is there in your physical body? Huh? How many percent? Huh? Some 50, some 70. If I'm not wrong, my biology teacher teach me 80% is made up of water. All of your cells, blood, liquid, including your bladder's water, your whatever tear gland that was excreted later on, 80% are water. So those who are already exposed to internet information through science, you know, water is very sensitive to vibration. That's why you put a glass of water, the Japanese scientist tested it. You subject this glass of water to all the good vibration, the good music. He put them at various places. Waterfall, in the hill, where very little human consciousness, where the nature's vibration and energy are very natural, very beautiful. Then when you subject them to a certain environment where they always listen to all the chanting, all the vibration that is very spiritual in nature, then when they put them in the church or certain way place, spiritual place where it's very calming, they look under the microscope, they realize the crystals are very beautiful, very nicely arranged. Yeah. Then whatever that place is, there is at the center there an image that resembles it, that explains the thing. So if this is what is happening, then you ask yourself, all of the water that we have in our body, they are also every day subject to what? Subject to what? Subject to all the vibration that you arise through your consciousness and and the environment you are in. If you live a life that is so heedless and your mind is always arising this wrong thought, you know what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity. All this, they have very negative energy field, especially fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, anger. They are so negative that the crystal that the scientist saw is so haphazard, like so disorderly. That's why when all of your cells are subject to that, the scientists call it your cell mutate from the beautiful natural state. So when it happens like that, that's why you have this symptom, disease. Nowadays, a lot of people got cancer because of stress. Stress, fear, worry, anxiety, and high level of stress. So all this negative energy field, they will cause your cells to mutate. Then it will lower your immune system. That's why you want to have good life, healthy life. You must have more love. More compassion, more joy. Basically, it's Noble Eightfold Path. You must be more happy. Have more contentment. Have more gratitude. Have more respect for others. Don't get angry. Don't become unhappy, miserable. Don't have any hate, envy, jealousy. All these are negative states. Develop all the wholesome thought, the right thought that the Buddha taught, Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought. That's a Noble Eightfold Path will make you very peaceful, very beautiful. And this is the real Dhamma. If every day you subject your mind state to all the negativity, you imagine how miserable your cells will behave. It's just like the sample of water. They put it under the traffic condition, the very noisy pollution, and at office or places where a lot of argument. The scientists look at the cells under microscope. It's so disorderly, haphazard, and terrible. That's why all this vibration influence your body, understand now, physically. Then when physically affected, mentally will be affected because your consciousness are trapped inside. If your mental is not like that, deluded, heedless, and negative, your physical will not be like that. Understand? So these two interact. Understand? So when you are deluded, you subject your mind state to this type of thing, then you become miserable, then your cells deteriorate, immune system went down, you become sick. You have very, very negative life, very unhappy life, and you suffer a lot because through that, you become miserable, afflicted. All sorts of illness, disease, all sorts of things like not right. Because when you are very negative, law of karma is like that. You set the base and condition for negative karma to arise. That's why you get into all sorts of trouble. And you cannot come out of it. So that type of life is miserable, grammar. So when you understand this, you must actually determine not to allow your body to be subjected to all these things anymore. That's why you must have more love. Understand? Always remember, have love and be loved. Never get angry, never become unhappy, never harm yourself and hurt yourself. And that is the meaning of have love and be loved. Learn to love yourself. If you love yourself, you will never harm yourself. Harm yourself doesn't mean commit suicide, or inflict bodily harm. Harm yourself here, I mean mental, psychological. If you apply your thought wrongly, you use thought without understanding, you create wrong thought that makes you attached to things, worry about things. Then as you continue to think, you become more and more fearful, more and more insecure, more and more unhappy. Then you become miserable. Then you enter depression. Then when all these things happen, means what? You use thought to think until you become so miserable, tormented, with so much fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness. That is not loving yourself, understand not? Hurting yourself and harming yourself with all the wrong thoughts. And this is the most deluded way to live life. Understand not? So you must see this very clearly and check your mind state. Every moment, every instant, are you happy? Are you peaceful? If you are not happy and not peaceful, why? Means you have wrong view, leading to wrong thought. Understand? Otherwise, you will be very happy, very peaceful, and very relaxed. And there is a lot of joy. But because you have wrong view, you become heedless. The hindrances are very strong. The evil roots are there. That's why you cannot become peaceful. The three evil roots are the worst. They are the root of all evil. They make you very evil, very negative. So Dhamma is very simple when you understand it from this perspective. So with this introduction, now I open it up to the floor. If you got anything to ask, or anything that you want to share, or you want to discuss, you can suggest or bring it up. The mic is here, anybody wants to. So that this type of gathering become more useful, more meaningful. Anybody? Padmasuri, yes. Yes, as the host, they should also say something.
A very good afternoon to Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all my lovely Kalyana Mitas. I really love you all.
Sadhu.
I think it happened to me about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I have a Kalyana Mita group, something like this.
Wow, sadhu.
come,
join us. She is from the Thursday class, a new girl. Vivian, Sa Teo, ah, yeah, come, join us. Yeah.
Car WGD7.
Whose car is that? You got to move your car, huh? Sa Teo. Thank you so much. Because I think they need you to shift. Sa Teo. Okay, you can continue, huh?
Okay, somehow something happened, not very, maybe it's my karma, not right, good karma, not right, but yet, so something happened, so that group dispersed.
Dispersed, so separated.
I lost it before, so I really treasure it.
Yeah.
I feel good when I found this. It's really wonderful. Because as we cultivate, we need people to help us. In Dharma, I think there's no who cultivated more and who cultivated less.
Correct.
It's like I pull you, you push me.
Yeah.
It's either, it's a two-way.
That's why I say you support each other, you counsel, and you create condition for each other to walk the path of Dhamma. That's right. You motivate them. That's right. While you motivate them, they also can benefit. Then later on when they progress, they will motivate others. That's right. That's why this is what I mean by when you meet together as Kalyanamitta, that fellowship, if you are sincere, it can bring for great condition as well. You feel motivated when everybody is so serious and they have progressed, they have transformed, they have benefited from the Dhamma. Then it gives you confidence as well. Then when you already have the Dhamma, you become a blessing to all. Then it's your turn to contribute back, to return to society, to help other Kalyanamitta who are new, like earlier on, before you encounter the Dhamma. So there is a lot of sharing, a lot of joy. Then there is a lot of what they call sincerity expressed. Then you can feel their sincerity, you know. Then you rejoice in all this special condition, like Padmasuri come to realize. She was so full of joy, she treasured all this, because it's very difficult to have this type of Kalyanamitta coming together so sincerely, walk the path of Dhamma and share their understanding. Then help each other, support each other and motivate each other so that all can benefit from this sharing. Good, continue.
And I would like to share some of my experience for daily practice. Especially,
very good.
Actually, my daily practice is very simple. Every morning I wake up, I would chant. That one is about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 to 20 minutes. Then I would do a very short version of metta.
Mm-hmm.
Very short. And then after that, I'll go to work. So as very mindfully, I go to work. But the thing is that sometimes when the moment I reach school, the haphazard coming.
Yeah.
So, but after I come back, after I wash up, I clean up myself, I do bowing.
Very important.
Bowing.
That one will make your mindfulness very stable.
I want to share how I started.
Yeah.
Actually, Brother Teo has been telling us you do bowing since March.
Yeah.
So initially, I heard Brother Teo say Reverend Xuan Hua asked Brother Teo to bow
10,000
times to make you worth my
worthy to be the disciple.
The disciple.
And so, must be within 3 months.
So in my heart, I want to make myself worth to be Brother Teo's student. So at first, actually I mind manually, not to say a lot of pain.
Initially a lot of pain.
So I bow one day, I stop 2 days. I bow one day, I stop 3 days.
It's okay one.
So after that one,
you do according to your bodily can take. Because different people, different age, different. You are not used to this type of bowing. Then Alan asked me, can we use Theravada 5-point procession? Very simple. Not the Mahayana one, stand up, go down. You can do anyone, whatever that suits you and you are familiar with. In fact, the Theravada is the best. Very easy. Go down, come out, go down, come out.
Actually, I didn't do the Mahayana one.
I also did the Theravada one.
So in the midst of, not to say very serious because of I have some pain, then there were one day I went to Hu Ping Ching Sir for a class.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Brother Teo directly want to tell me or something. Say, if you want to do the bowing, you do it seriously.
Yeah.
Somebody is telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
So since I heard that day onwards, I bow every day.
Yeah, so
I counted one bow is about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So half an hour is about 180 times. So that's the maximum I can go.
That one is because she do it slowly. Later on, when you're familiar already, 1 minute can go to 20 bow. Very fast. Zong, 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 zong. Very fast. It will take you about 3-4 seconds about. But later on, you will slow down on your own. Don't worry. Then you do it at your own pace. No need to later count also. You make sure you are mindful. That is more important. Then don't try to know anything. No. Just bow until body and mind as one. Develop the faith, sada. You can chant Namo Bun Si Si Jing Mo Ni Fo. Then you bow. That was what Master Sun Hua asked the disciple to bow. Because our original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. So Namo is homage to the Bun Si is original teacher. Si Jing Mo Ni Fo. Then bow. Then come out. Then again bow. Then later on, you don't have to wait till you come out, only chant. As you chant, you bow. Then as you come out, you stop. Then you chant, you bow. And very fast. Because when you come out, when you are mindful, you just come out. Then Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Before you finish Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, again you bow again. Then you go up. That's all. So if you really do at that pace with mindfulness later on, it's about 3-4 seconds about, I remember. Because you only have to chant Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Finish already, then come out. That's all. Finish, come out. So it's quite easy when you are sincere, when you are determined. And you do it for your own good, for your own nature, for you to develop sati, mindfulness. You see, the advantage of bowing, long time I haven't explained already. You know what are the advantages or not? There are many advantages. First is, you pay respect in a reverential salutation. It's a meritorious action. And you pay respect to who? The Sama Sambuddha, the Fully Enlightened, or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And the field of merit is limitless. If you understand that merit, if you do it with understanding and sincerely, then you exercise mindfulness, understand that. Then third is, you develop humility, understand that. When you can bow, you have humility, understand that. I remember the first time, we were at that time, very arrogant, university student, first year I remember, think that, I say, how can we just bow like that to image? Well, that time, the thought, there's still this, what they call arrogance. So humility was never there. Then later on, as I understand, there is no one inside there to really bow. Respect is a very, very essential virtue. It's very basic virtue. If I can have respect, means I understand what I do, and it's humility. Humility means to bring your ego down, understand that? So that you can pay respect to all the worthy ones. You can pay respect to the elders. Then the Buddha says, four things grow. Remember? When you pay respect? Four things. What are they? Ayu, Wana, Sukha, Palang. This is Pali word. Ayu is long life. Long line. Wana is fair complexion, understand? Or beautiful feature. Sukhang is happiness, understand? All living being, you really, really love that. Then Palang. Palang is strength. Two meaning. Physical and spiritual strength. To walk the path of Dhamma or to determine to develop something within the mundane conditional. Both are very vital strength that you need to be successful in life. Then at the same time you exercise your body. You see the advantages is tremendous. So we repeat. First, when you bow, it's reverential salutation. It's also one of the 38 blessings. You can read reverence. So you develop meritorious action, you develop blessings. Then you cultivate what they call humility. Oh no, sorry. You practice mindfulness. You cultivate mindfulness as you do. Then you develop humility. Humility is very important. Then after that, you exercise your body. Understand? Then as you bow body and mind as one, there is what they call sati, mindfulness, spiritual faculty developed. Then you do it with confidence, sincerity and faith. You develop sada, virya. So all the spiritual faculty will fall into place. So that's why bowing is very important. And personally, I can bow too. That was how my daily mindfulness stabilized very fast. Okay, we let Pamasuri continue. Very good, sadhu.
Okay, I feel that after some time, I can bow better and it helps me physically in the sitting.
Yeah.
It helps me in the sitting because the lower back gets stronger. You can sit strong longer without feeling numb. Then mentally, you can get into your mind get clear very fast.
Yeah, and you become peaceful, silent very fast. Because when your mindfulness is there, you will know. Later on, you will come to know. Like Xie Yi realized, you go to anywhere sitting, you don't have to go to a conducive place. Anywhere, how noisy is it? The moment you sit, you silent, your mindfulness develop without you knowing. Your mind become peaceful immediately. I realize after I bow, when my mindfulness came, I no need to train my mind. I no need to do mind sweeping method. I no need to do metta. I no need to train use anapanasati. I straight away go and zok the mind, just silent. Then the awareness is there. And then it dropped to the heart by itself. That's why I know you have to go to the heart. Then I located the gateway. Then after that, my meditation progressed very fast. And nobody teach me, I tell you. And it just happened by itself. Then after that, my daily mindfulness, very, very stable. Then I can see a lot of things that I never see before. Nothing has changed, except my mindfulness. I tell you. That's why it's very powerful. Continue.
It's very powerful. There were one occasion, I didn't even realize that, it works for me. It happened in school. My school is a cluster school, so the parents are very demanding. So there were one occasion during the exam time, I don't know what happened. One of my students got a different set of questions. Got a set of last year question. Can you imagine all 400 students sitting the present year question and this student is sitting the other year's question and I'm the teacher who set the question. So my boss was jumping. But this is actually very serious in our problem. But it was very surprising when she called me up to her office. I was extremely calm. I was surprised. I was very shocked. So she was shouting already. She started to shout. But as she shouted, I have no reaction.
And there's clarity. It will happen to you as a cultivator. And you will know you have changed. That is the real change. Not the one through the thought one. Try to behave that way. Oh no, I must not get angry. The thought telling you, not that type. This one is, she herself doesn't know one. But it has changed because the understanding is there. The mindfulness is there. That's why mindfulness and stable becomes samadhi. And it becomes like that on its own one. No need to do anything. Very good. Continue.
So she was angry. She said, now how to answer to the parents? So straight away it come to my mind, the problem is at the parents. So I said, okay. I told her straight away, I'll call the parents. They said, how are you going to call the parents? I said, the student is in the class. So straight away, I go to the student. I get the parents' phone number. I call the parents. I talk to the parents nicely. I say, now this is the case.
That is very important.
So I say, I need to keep your daughter with me to receive the paper. So I said, what we need is to solve the problem. So she said, okay. I said, I can send, she said, transport problem. I said, no problem, I can send your daughter home. It's around this area. Then she told me, my daughter need lunch. I said, no problem, I take her for lunch. She's like my daughter. Okay, I take her for lunch. So I sit with the student, finish the exam. So I send her home.
Yeah.
Then I met the parents. So I explained to the parent. I say, I'm really sorry, it's my fault because that paper is in my set of paper.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm the person who said how it gets in. Later I tell I'll explain later. I didn't bother how it gets into that stack. Yeah. So I explained to the parents, I said, your daughter is really actually very honest.
Yeah.
Because when they get the question, she don't
look
around, what question are you answering, what question are you... She straight away answer and she didn't even realize she answered the wrong set of questions.
Yeah.
And she's really brutally honest. So I told her, I'm sorry, but I couldn't avoid. But the parents also say, yeah, well, my daughter is very honest.
Yeah.
I apologize to them, they accepted. So the next day I went back to school. So my boss called me up again, how do you solve the problem? I said, there's no problem. I already explained to the parents. The parents accepted. I resolved the thing. So I said, in fact, I told the student, I said, now you experience last year's question and this year's question, you can compare because PT3 question is different from PMR.
Yeah, different.
So she realized, yeah, PT3 is more difficult than last year's question. So she get to experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So I teach her to see the things from both sides. But she's really stressed out because that day she sit two paper. But on top of that, she see the point. I apologize to her.
Yeah. Very important. Yeah.
So that it dissolved like that. So nowadays, so anything I do wrong, I will straight away if I
Sade,
very a lot.
Very important.
Your mind is clear.
Yeah.
You won't panic.
You remember what I used to tell you? Whatever happened in life, don't panic, don't get fearful, don't become unhappy, don't react. Understand? Be at peace with a clear mind to accept whatever reality that has already happened. But you cannot change. Understand? You blame anybody also no use. You blame yourself also no use. Or even let's say your colleague accidentally put the exam paper in. Things happen already. You blame her also no use. What you need to do, like what Pamatsuri realized, is you have to solve the problem amicably so that everybody can move on, so that there is no blaming, no getting angry or unhappy, no finger pointing or accusation, you're wrong, because of you this happened. This will not be amicable. This will lead to unhappiness, where it touches people's ego. Then if you do something wrong, be sincere about it, like what Pamatsuri did. Apologize. It was my mistake. I'm the teacher in charge. I said a question, but I don't know how that paper went in. Maybe later she said, got condition, I tell you, because somehow that paper was there. But luckily, only one student. Then during my time in the university, lucky best, there was one exam, first year, remember, applied mechanics. One of the questions, actually no answer. The question supposed to be not enough information, cannot get answer. But the lecturer actually understand, because that question was a very tricky question. There was an angle which was not given the figure, but because the angle is a very small angle, understand? So cosine, a very small angle, is equals to 1, understand? So approximate answer supposed to come out that way. But all the students who are very rigid one, they complain. Complain to the invigilator. Say, this one, no answer one. Cannot be solved. Wrong question. They blame the lecturer. Then you know what happened? The lecturer was called up. The lecturer looked at it. He also forgot the last time he said that question so long ago. Then he realized what happened now. Then after that, I think about 20 minutes later, he went up there and out. Please take note, this question number one, no mistake. Correct question. Go ahead and answer. Oh, then the moment he said that, I got a hint. No mistake means there must be something that explain why no mistake. So I check. Oh, the angle is small. Well, I work out the answer already. I put the angle as theta, I don't know. So I put theta. So I said, The answer is like that, cosine theta. Then when he said that, I look at the equation again. If theta is a small angle tending towards zero, cosine zero is one. So once I put in one, the answer come out. I put the answer there. That's why that paper I score. So sometimes it's like that. You don't go and get angry. How can this teacher like that? You blame him also no use. You get angry, emotional inside the exam hall also no use. There's no more clarity. And your entire mood spoil. Then you cannot answer that question properly. So no matter what happened, be at peace. And I have a very strange character. I like very difficult questions. Because when questions are very difficult, I do very well. Question too easy, everybody do well. And I'm only somewhere in the middle. So I every time look forward to difficult questions. So when I saw the question very difficult, I know I score already. Because I survive with difficult condition and difficult question. That was my character and my nature, I realized. Then I realized when conditions are too easy, everybody will do well on that one. Because I am not a person who is very thorough. I do think very fast. And when I do, I finish off very fast. So when the questions are very easy, those who are thorough, they will score full mark on. Then I will score about 80, 90 or one, or make one or two small mistakes here. Then you cannot get full mark. So comparatively, you're somewhere above average, somewhere stuck. So this is the situation that can arise. So Padma Suri had a very good sharing of how his daily life cultivation, especially the bowing and the spiritual faculty, has helped her in her own understanding of life and career. And he solved her problem. And the most important thing is her mind state are different now. You remember when I started? I said when you walk the path of Dhamma, when you develop the understanding and the correct appropriate training, you will transform. Character-wise, personality-wise, inwardly leading to outwardly. Character and personality is outward. Understanding is inward. Then when your spiritual faculties are there, it makes you more heedful, less heedless, less hindrance. That's why your mind state can be different. Then you don't panic like before. Otherwise, the restlessness, the fear, the worry, anxiety, the panic will arise. Most people panic a little. Headmaster or headmistress come after you, and you created a blunder in such a important school. They call it cluster school nowadays. So you just imagine, most people would have fear, panic first, then don't know what to do. Then the headmaster or the headmistress will continue to blame you and fire you. If it's a good headmaster or headmistress, they will come together with you and resolve it with you. I think we need to solve this. How can we go about doing it? There is a good headmaster or headmistress. Then after that, okay, don't worry, I will check the record book or the record of the registration of the student. The parents' detail must be there. Then we try to figure things out and how to resolve it amicably. Then if the school needs to apologize to the parent, you have to do. So this is good sharing. We say sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Any more?
Another one, good. Quite interesting also.
Good.
You can see people stirring.
That one is very, very common. And you can do that means you have the Dhamma a little bit. It's starting to arise. Otherwise, you cannot see that one. See people stirring, reacting.
It was actually, I'm the assistant prefect teacher. So the prefect has been misbehaving. So actually, the actual prefect teacher should take charge. I observe. I think the situation is quite serious already. So I take down the misbehaving. I wanted to take action. So before we take action, we need to approach our PK Ham, which is in charge of the Hal Ewa Murid.
Correct.
So when I approach her, when she saw that the problem is so serious. So she straight away she stir and scolded me.
Yeah.
I didn't react. Yeah. Quite surprising for me because
you
was yourself, the one who stir very fast on.
You yourself will be very surprised.
I was quite surprised. Didn't stir, so I just looked at her very calmly.
Yeah.
She kept on scolding, and another teacher also sitting there doing their work, sharing the same room with her, keep quiet because I saw her scolding already. But I'm surprised. It's because I didn't stir. I just look at her very calmly. She scolds until a point that, you know, I start to sympathize her. Why do you stir like that? And then I wanted to calm her down to say that actually this is not my fault. It's the prefect teacher. She's too busy.
Yeah.
to take care of this. So I see the thing. It's up to the limit already. So some action needs to be taken.
Yeah.
Then she scolds some. Then until certain point, she suddenly realized,
not you.
Not me.
Yeah.
So she just calmed down. Suddenly she calmed down, she realized that she's scolding the wrong person. She's behaving not correct to that teacher already. And then she just calmed down and she changed her voice and said, okay, you take whatever the action you think is proper. So I just said thank you and I just walk out. No reaction. I was very happy after that.
Correct.
I didn't, for not stirring in the school.
Very true, very true. Very important. And you will experience all this in life itself on your own. And this is the real cultivation. You really change and transform because you follow the teaching and cultivate accordingly. You know what she did? She did the chanting, the daily routine, the spiritual faculty, the five daily contemplation. Then she understand the Dhamma. Then she know what are the evil root. And through this, when you stabilize it through contemplation, reflection, the first turning, second turning, then the third turning will come. And sometimes it happens, the wisdom there, you still don't know it until you are tested, until condition arrives. Then you realize, how come like that? Last time you react very fast. Now cannot already. Totally differently. Well, I went through that many times also, many occasions. I have shared some of this with you all. Once is the coffee that I drank my wife made. Forgot to put sugar. Normally, if normal person or during the early time, I will react already. I say, what the hell is going on? Coffee also for sugar. I said, but then the moment I taste, because of the awareness, and I already have the Dhamma, I realize what happened. Then I smile. Then I call my wife. I say, come, have a taste the coffee. Then he realized that sugar not there. No need to scold, understand not. Just acknowledge and understand what happened then. Tell her, don't mind, put the sugar. Then problem resolved. You get angry, you know what happened. The wife will say, never appreciate what I do was almost scold. I said, what type of husband is it? Then the other thing was, last time I used to have this, what they call, you see, when you move around, when you have mindfulness and understanding, you are very different. Then one day I accidentally, one of these knees, I stumbled on something, an object protruding out from somewhere. Suddenly it hit me. And it was so painful. Normal people would cry and yell. But the moment I hit, the tactile consciousness went in. Then I realized what happened. Then instead of, I just laugh. And I can feel the tactile thing inside. I just laugh and smile. Then I tell myself, that's the reality. I react also no use. Understand? But that wisdom was there, and I don't have to do anything on it. Then after that, I realized, nothing can disturb me already. Then one day, I was in a supermarket. No, I think one Utama one, many, many years ago. There was a group of youngsters, young boys, I think. And four or five of them, I think Malay, very, very active young. They were looking for Nike shoe and all those things. So I was walking around, looking around. Then what happened is, they run around very fast. Then one of them hit me, you know. Hit me, you know. Then, well, I was fully aware, you know. I turned around and said, sorry, did I hurt you? He looked at me in disbelief, you know. He just smiled and said, uncle, I okay, he said. Then he went to his friend, because he speak Malay, I can understand. He said, daddy uncle, very strange. I langga sama dia, dia tak marah lagi, dia cakap sorry. He go and say like that. They really don't believe God, people like that. Then there was one day I was buying some, I think it's medicine, I think, from a medical shop in NS2 last time. And I gave him $50, I think. The change was supposed to be 20-something, because I bought the thing 20-something. He changed back 30-something, extra $10. And when I took the thing, then I very mindful. I remember I saw the change was wrong, 30-something. Then I took the money, then I about to walk out, then I just want to check one more time. I check, yeah, then I realize extra. Then I turn back now. I said, did you give me the correct change? You know what was the reaction from him now? He thought I want to claim more from him now. He straight away reacted, oh, correct, I give you the right change. You know? I said, I don't think so. Then he, at first, not happy. I said, I think you give me extra $10. The moment I say that, he got a shock. Then I returned that $10 to him. He was disbelieved. Then when I walked out of the shop, he talked to his colleague. Got this type of people around. It's not $1, but $10 extra. And you turn around and return that thing to him. See? You will do it naturally. No need to go and think. Other people will, ayo, since he didn't see, I didn't see, might as well take it. Because $10 at that time is quite a money. But even if it's quite a money, sincerity is still honesty, is still a virtue. Because not worthwhile, understand? If you can return, you should return. Unless you really need that money for emergency, then you vow, use it, after that return, understand? Then it's okay. But if you really don't have such usage or condition, you should try your best to return, because it never worthwhile. The nature's law of karma is very powerful. Every dollar you take or deceive or through greed, you have to pay back, sometimes a lot more. Never worth the while. Okay? So these are very important understanding as you cultivate. And this only the cultivator can share with you. Those who don't cultivate, very difficult for you to experience such a thing. That's why the Dhamma is very wonderful, very beautiful. Mindfulness is very wonderful, very beautiful. That's why the Buddha said, the heedful never die. That is the meaning. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So now understand, determined to be heedful. Cultivate the spiritual faculties. Especially your sadhā virya, leading to your faith. Okay, any more?
I feel that it's not that we don't want to friend those people those friends who are not cultivating. The things that they talk, it seems that there is no importance to you really.
You will understand one. You will see all these things.
You see.
Then you will know how to just keep a distance, understand? Unless there is condition, and then you will know one. Then you will still talk to them, no problem, understand? It's just like that, just now, where is your daughter? Not around. Oh, she is here. You remember just now you were talking to me with the father. And he said, he heard the father say, my wife teacher also, also that how many Hokkien now? Ancient Dune's father, her grandfather, also an ancient monk, also a teacher. So she talked a bit with her. Then we saw the grandfather very happy. Then you know what she said to the doctor? Yes. Doctor said, Mr. Teo, you should come to my house more often. Talk to my father. I said, why? You also can. He said, nothing to talk lah. Because the age gap, understand? Yeah. The grandpa is 90 years old, and the grandpa like to keep to himself. Then you know what I told her? I said, you can. You must have love, understand? Because she looked at him like, oh, you know, every time, like Tim say, repeat the old story. You know, our old people keep on telling you the story. He said, listen until see. Cannot. This is your lack of patience, love, and understanding for him. Well, he is what he is. Being at that age, he has generation gap because during his time, his friend and civilization were very different. And he was from a Chinese school. Then when he see the young people now, it's so different. The world, there is a gap, understand? But if you don't have love, you cannot communicate with them, understand? So that's where the barrier, everything will come in. So I teach her, I say, you must develop what they call appreciation, gratitude, respect. Then you must learn how to understand him. Do not have this preconceived idea or conditioning where, your grandpa like that one, cannot one, impossible to talk to him, he always like that one, then like you try to get away from him. Understand? Then I tell her one, I say, come on, it's like that, you do this to your grandpa, next time you live old enough, your grandchildren do the same to you. Understand? So it's not like that. You have to understand that there is something as love that comes about through understanding them for what they are. So when you start to listen to them, appreciate what they have done for you, then I teach her to reflect. You should one day go and reflect, contemplate, and talk to your grandpa. I say, Gong Gong, thank you for all you have done. Without you, my papa will not be what he is. And I will not have the good life that I have because of what you did. Now, my papa, my family, our family are very fortunate, very blessed. And we have the Dhamma and all those things. And it all was because of you. Thank you. Then you hold his hand sincerely, understand? Then show your love, affection. But if you like, don't like him and you feel that he's like very fun, they can feel you, understand? You don't think they cannot feel you, understand? Your negative energy, your dislike, they can feel one. But when you're sincere, they can also feel, and there's so much joy. And when you can give them love and joy, you have the Dhamma, understand? Means you really love. Despite their old age, their sickness, that you love because you respect them, you have gratitude towards them. And they have contributed so much to your parents and your present life condition. So it's time for you to develop understanding, wholesomeness, and goodness. You know, whatever you do, become your karmic inheritance. Good or evil is the same. So when you are good to people, in future, you will change role. People will be good to you. Understand? So like I told her, if you know how to respect your parents, have gratitude towards them, and be a good child. In future, you will have children who will respect you, kind to you, good to you, and do all those things for you. Understand? So it doesn't mean that every time you react, get angry, unhappy, when your parents scold you or instruct you to do things that you don't like to do, but you never have the gratitude towards them. Understand? The love towards them. Because since birth until now, what have they done for you? They not only give you life, no. They have to sacrifice to care for you, to bring you up into this world, to provide for your education, your food, your lodging, your basic need, to protect you and to care for you. Understand? Maybe send you to kindergarten, send you to school, and bring you back and plan your life. And hopefully do their duty to make sure that you have a good future. Understand? So all this, you don't have gratitude. You don't have understanding. Then you only know how to throw tantrum, get angry, and react to your parents. Or that is the negative way. But don't get me wrong, not her daughter. Her daughter, very good daughter. She is going to Shanghai to study Chinese traditional medicine. Is it TCM? TCM. They stand for what?
Traditional Chinese medicine.
TCM. Very good. Then my wife say good. Come back, become sincere. No. How many? Zhong Yi Si, yeah, not sincere. Zhong Yi Si, doctor. Zhong Yi Si, but Chinese traditional practice. So these are very good understanding. So whatever you do to help people to arise the wholesomeness and goodness, not you help, no. Karmically wise, karma wise, you receive, no. This is what your merit is, no. And the friction of it is in future, people will help you back. Do all these things. That's why the more you donate, the more you offer, all this will come back to you through your dana parami. That's why there's a saying, the more you give, the more you receive. And really true. You don't believe, you can try. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the seed of evil. So whatever you do, be mindful, be heedful. If you want to have the good life, follow the advice of the Buddha. All evil you must avoid. Do good, wholesomeness. And what are good, what are wholesomeness, you must reflect contemplate. All those virtues that you cultivate, the respect, the gratitude, the contentment, the kindness, the gentleness, the love and the compassion, the sincerity, the honesty, all these are virtues. And it will bring forth great blessings, great merits, as opposed to all the negativity, selfishness, anger, envy, jealousy, fear, insecurity, unhappiness, cunningness, deceitfulness, all this you must avoid. So you follow the advice of the Buddha, you develop a lot of wholesomeness. Once you can avoid all evil, do good, whatever wholesomeness you cultivate, then all this blessing will come back to you. Then non-delusion means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no doubt. You are very confident because you understand the Dhamma. So these are very important Dhamma practices. It's not the usual way of cultivating Dhamma, but this is the real understanding of Dhamma. Whatever you do in the name of cultivation, you listen. If it does not bring forth the virtue in you, that is the wrong teaching. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, it can bring you back to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then is the real teaching. And what is the Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's why you have all the virtue. Understand? The moment you have virtue, you have Dhamma. No matter what you do in the name of meditation, like you can meditate until you have fantastic meditation, you can see light, you can see this, you can do all the magic. As long as there is no Noble Eightfold Path, there is no virtue, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That is still psychic field. And you can become very powerful, your mind very calm, very peaceful, you can experience fantastic meditative state. But Noble Eightfold Path you don't have. You are still very crude as a human being. Because you got no virtue, you got no kindness, you got no respect, you got no gratitude, you got no contentment. That's why you easily become miserable, unhappy, selfish, you tend to compare. You got a lot of envy and jealousy. Then you react very fast. You always want things your way. You got wrong view. So these are the result of those who cultivate not through wisdom. If you cultivate through energy field, then you take the meditative experience as what you are looking forward to. You think when you can meditate until you're very calm, very peaceful, your mind very powerful, you can do a lot of psychic ability, you can read mind, you can go through, you can do special things. You think that is equivalent to progressive meditation. Maybe that is the meditation you are looking for, but it's not what the Buddha teach. The Buddha teach you very simple. He said, you must come back to Noble Eightfold Path. Because that is the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said. Under the fourth noble truth, the Buddha said, there is a Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is the enlightenment. Understand? That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, nothing else. And to have Noble Eightfold Path is to be a noble being, enlightened being. Because a noble being, an enlightened being, is somebody who is very noble in his understanding of life. That's why they got right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they will arise right thought, very beautiful thought, no negativity. They are very noble in the way they think and arise their thought. Then they are very noble in the way they speak, they interact and communicate. Then when they are very noble in the way they act and do things, then they are very noble in the way they live their life. And all this will be reflected in the noble ones or enlightened ones. Okay? So this is some additional sharing. So that you can reflect on this, so that you know how to actually benefit others, so that when you go back, your family members, you will see them with a different outlook. Your old view, your wrong view, your misconception, you will start to see that all these are due to your selfishness. That's why you perceive them like that, you react to them like that, because you never loved them. Where you think they are different from you. There is no love because you are selfish. You just want to protect yourself, care for yourself. But when you love, you have a different mind. This mind is not selfish anymore. It feels. Then when there is condition to love, you will know how to love. And you will be very sincere. And you have right speech. You talk to them so nicely. And you have right thought. You think of wholesome things. No negativity, no cunningness, no jealousy, no envy, no dislike or unhappiness. That's why all these wrong thoughts, no more. That's why you become a different person, transform. And this is the real Dhamma. If you cannot cultivate until you become like that, through the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, means you are not cultivating properly. When you have Dhamma, you will have understanding. Then you will have love. You will have compassion. You will have goodness, wholesomeness, virtue. Okay? Pass the mic to.
It's nothing. As you go along, you're very sensitive to your own negative.
Sadhu, very good.
Greed.
You see very clearly. You're very sensitive.
And the guilt is very bad. When you, especially if you think that you have the chance to take, if you really do it, you will really feel very, very bad. And it
takes
you days to settle down.
Very good. That is another part. Because you will see your own selfishness, your own what they call weaknesses, understand not? Your own evil roots. Then when you see that, that is the beginning of real understanding. Because before you are heedful, you cannot see your. A selfish person will not know he is selfish. A selfish person will think he is right, because he got his thought to justify. Why should I help him? My brother also I never helped. Why? Who is he? they will justify or no. Then the thought will tell them funny thing or no. That's not. But actually, all of their action, they are selfish. But to justify their selfishness, they will come out with this type of thought or no. Then when they are angry and emotional, they also can come out with this type of wrong thought to justify. That guy did that to me. Wait till one day I got a chance. I'm going to punish him and do better. Then you say, why you like that? He last time did that to me. Otherwise, I won't do that to him one. You see, the thought justify. But they didn't know anger is an evil root. Wrong evil. Why is it evil? It causes you to violate the precept, to harm and hurt people with bad intention. Selfishness is also the same. When you are selfish, you have a lot of negativity. When you only think of yourself, you never think of others. Then when you are selfish, you can cheat, you can deceive, and you can even cause harm. And the worst is to become possessive. Jealousy, envy, all these are very serious negative evil. So you cannot see them, means you are not heedful, you are not mindful, you don't have the Dhamma. The beginning of observation through mindfulness is the beginning of the real cultivation. When you can see your own mental intention trying to do all these negative acts, negative speech, and arising all the negative thought, that is the time you must cultivate the four right efforts. Four right efforts. First one is right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong speech, and the wrong action that has already arisen. You see them arise already, then you abandon them with right effort. Means you use the first two ways. The Buddha said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, so that this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action will not arise. Then think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, that they are evil root, root of all evil. Your karma will fall and your life will be affected. If this is not what you want, then you determine to abandon them. That's why first you arise the right effort to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech that have arisen. Then after that, when you are skillful already, with mindfulness you can see the mental intention. So before your wrong thought arise, or wrong speech or wrong action arise, you aware. Understand? And then right effort to prevent them from arising. Understand? That is how you cultivate. And after you develop these two, you stabilize it, then you realize one day, cannot arise already. Understand? Well, the wisdom is there, the understanding is there. First, right effort to abandon, after that, to prevent it from arising. Then later on, cannot arise really, because you have reflected upon it, you have developed the understanding, you have straightened your view. And this is how you transform, means the Dhamma is already with you. You can have the wisdom to accept things as they are, to accept them for what they are. Then you are at peace. Then that wisdom, which is equanimity, will free your mind, will liberate your mind. Okay, that one is very useful. Sadhu. Okay, anybody else? Got any question or you want to share anything? You can. This is supposed to be our what they call very informal type of Dhamma sharing. So that it's not like in a class where there are many people. Where we are here gather as Kayana Mitta to develop understanding, to support, counsel, motivate, and help each other to walk the path of Dhamma. Anybody else? Any question or any sharing? Yes. anything. Can ask anything. Just push it out all the way. Didn't push it out all the way.
You're saying that if you have spiritual zeal,
yeah,
and when you sit, you should not be
No sloth and topper. Yeah, no
but
sloth.
Sometimes when you are tired, you do.
Ah, very good question. Very good question. You
and
see.
You make effort and sometimes just.
Correct.
You know,
very good.
You're moving in and out, actually.
Yeah,
you're started. Aware that you're sleeping.
I understand your question. A lot of people did not ask. Sadhu, thank you for asking this question. So, it's recorded, it can help many people. When I say there is the spiritual faculty or spiritual zeal, remember? Tenacity, virya. When virya is there, you are very motivated and so on. Then you can never be sleepy. But sometimes when you meditate, because you are tired, that's why I explained before in other sharing. I say, when you meditate, when you sleep, if you feel this sloth and topper coming, you must understand why sloth and topper arise. How the other reason sloth and topper come to be, that is what Dhammanupassana is all about. First category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five hindrances. So your mindfulness is you silent your mind. Then before you are sleepy, before this hindrance arrives, you are not sleepy. Right? So when you silent to observe, then you will realize how this unarisen hindrance of sleepiness come to be. Then you felt that sloth and topper, the awareness of it. Yeah? But it makes you so sleepy. Understand? Then like you say, you realize your body very tired. Understand? So when body is tired, come our joy, sadhu, come. You realize your body is tired. So body is tired, don't panic, understand not? There is a condition of the body. It's of the nature to become sleepy. Where the body need rest, understand not? Then need to recuperate. That's why the best thing to do is, if your body need rest, just go and rest, understand not? Go and sleep. Go and rest. Have a good one, understand not? Don't be shy. My paisei. But don't get me wrong, Don't go and spread the word around. Relatives say sleepy, go and sleep. You know, there was one place I go and teach. Not to mention the place. Many years ago, I think about 5-6 years ago. You see, for me, you know, I'm not rigid one. So not. You can use any method, any technique. Then any posture, because posture never define the meditation. You can either sit or you can lie down. Or you can lean against the wall, or you can do walking, understand? It's up to you. Then there was one day, you know, that person was so tired. He came for the group meditation. It happened to be a Thursday class too last time. That's right. I also teach for 2-3 years. I didn't know until later on, many months later, or 1 or 2 years later, there was a feedback from somebody else. I also don't know whether it's true or not, but there was a feedback. That's why I come to know. But this person was so tired, you know. Then he was at the back there. But because I say, if you tired, you sleep, huh? So he really slept, you know. Then he was snoring so loud, you know. Everybody not used to it, you know. Because they all from that tradition, you know. Cannot tolerate this type of thing, you know. Oh, everybody thought something is wrong. Then they did not say anything anymore. So keep quiet. Then after the session, I ring the bell after about 40 minutes or 45 minutes, as usual. Then I ask, anybody want to report meditation? Then as usual, everybody looked down. Nobody. Then I say, what about the one at the back? You have a good meditation or not? You know, because he was sleeping and snoring. And he, I think he also knew, he also pointed, he said, I was so tired. He said, I was sleeping. I said, do you know you were snoring? He said, is it loud? Very loud. I said, you don't worry. I said, yeah, it's pretty loud, but no problem. I said, you can also lie down and do your lying down meditation. But you must do it awareness, understand? But when the body is tired, let it rest, understand? When you study last time, you remember, when you were young? When you study and you're so sleepy, you somehow want to continue to study. But you scared, if you don't study, you cannot finish the revision or whatever. Then what you do? You go and make coffee, tick tick on. Hopefully you won't sleep. Actually, forget about all those things. You know, I went through that before. Last night, I don't know, so tired. Try to wake, keep awake and do. Then after a while, it goes off again. Because the mind was so tired, body was so tired. Then I decide, rest, sleep. So I just go and lie on the bed. 10 minutes only, after that, I come up. I had a good rest. Oh, then I realized, I wide awake. And I said, that's why when I study, that time at the uni, and even in Form 5, Form 6, we are last time no aircon one, very sleepy. You go to class, no aircon, especially in the school. Even library also no aircon one. Because that school, no aircon. You feel very humid and very sleepy. Then I always go and rest, sleep. And sometimes exam hall, I will lie down for 5 minutes. Then after that, I come out, after that rest, I can answer very fast. So when you are tired, if it's a bodily condition, go and sleep. Understand? Then you wake up with a virya, then you meditate. But don't go and make use of that as a reason to go and sleep. Understand? Especially people in the retreat, brother say can go and sleep. You know, that means you take advantage of it and you try to give a reason. Understand? But you will know, if it's bodily, it's tired, you can actually silence your mind and allow the mind to rest. Understand? But rest with awareness inside the meditation. Understand? So without the virya, because this virya is something that you develop through reflection and contemplation of who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is, and how special his virtue and wisdom is. And because of that, you determine to walk this way. And when you determine, you cannot be sleepy on. You ask Joy, she will tell you. She can stay until late at night. Sometimes didn't sleep also. Next morning, still wide awake. Because of the Dhamma. She go through the email or saying, because of the Dhamma, it can keep you wide awake. But body need rest. Please remember that. Time to rest, better rest. Especially when your age is no longer young. You cannot do that anymore. So you need to rest, you rest. Allow the body to rest. Then rest with complete confidence. Don't try to force it to wake up. No point. Need to rest? Rest. So meditation is like that. If you are sleepy, if you know it's a bodily condition, then you go and rest. Then after that, you come again. Or you can go and walk. Make yourself fresh, relax and fresh. Because sometimes under tension, you can also have this type of sleepiness. Then some people will advise you go and wash your face. Remember? Then come back more fresh. But I tell you, if it's tired body, physically tired, you better go and rest, sleep. Yeah. Then after that, you are very fresh. But if it's a normal slough and torpor, you have to develop the vipassana to understand. You will have to trace the origination factor. How come this mind suddenly enters sloth and torpor? There are two possibilities. One is, it comes as a test. Actually for no reason. Because when you meditate, normally your spiritual faculty is there. You can meditate very well. Then after a long time, you don't have sloth and torpor already. Suddenly one day it comes. Then you got doubt. How come like that? For so long, no sloth and torpor. How come suddenly like that? It make you so sleepy. Like your eye want to open also cannot. Every time you sit, it come off. Yeah. That one is a test. So if it's a test, I teach you very simple. You just silent. Allow it to be. Allow that sleepiness to go into that sleep. Allow it. Do not resist. Do not react. Do not force. And then see what happens. You will be surprised. All of a sudden, there will be a shift in consciousness. Suddenly, your mind, with all the energy, brightness, that sloth and torpor is gone. Completely gone. Then you realize that light, that energy is very different. No, that one, you won't go in and out. That one is the shift of consciousness when it comes, so that sloth and torpor totally gone. Then your mind is very different. There is this brightness inside there. there is this clarity, there is this awareness. That time the virya and the sati is very clear. Then you can see everything very clearly. You don't have to open your eye. Then that time your sati anywhere, and with this type of energy inside there, it can investigate everything. Even your pain also gone, suddenly flash off. So numbness or whatever. Then your body is like the chi flow everywhere. Then you like very different, very fresh, very alert. There is clarity. There is this energy inside there, which is very wholesome and very pure. It's a spiritual energy. It is like more than virya. There is clarity there. It's a shift of consciousness. Suddenly your mind consciousness shifts. Then it cuts away all the hindrance. Then you become very alert, very attentive, full of mindfulness. Then there is clarity. Everywhere you put your mind, very clear. Anything you want to understand, you can understand. Then the other one is like what you went through. Sometimes you are not actually tired, but because you don't know how to meditate, and you have this problem every time you meditate, when you got nothing to do, the mind becomes lazy. Then this sloth and torpor set in. Sometimes it's karmic obstruction. And so it has to come and obstruct you first. Then like you say, you go in and come out. Then you force yourself like using effort to sit straight and become alert again. Then after a while, it falls into sloth and torpor again. Then it come out again. Then you have to fight. And so, no point. You might as well ask for forgiveness in front of the altar. You make this aspiration, is it? Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this karmic nature of mine has caused any karmic negativity, I would like to sincerely apologize. So that this karmic obstruction can actually be dissolved. Understand that? So that I can move on with my cultivation. So you can also add in, if by any action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that you have caused any karmic negativity that result in this karmic obstruction, you sincerely ask for forgiveness. May this nature be forgiven. Understand that? Then after that, you determine to keep precepts, follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, avoid all evil, and develop wholesomeness. Then you invoke the power of merits. By the power of this wholesomeness that I have developed, means every time you go for meditation or puja class or dharma class, you have your pre-puja, understand not? All the 10 meritorious actions you will do. You pay respect, you renew your precept, then you radiate metta, dana. So dana, sila, bhavana, meditation you also do, reverential salutation you also do, then you listen to the dhamma, you straighten your view, understand now? Then you share merit, you transfer merits. Then after that, you provide service, you help kayana mitta in many other ways. So all these are meritorious action. Then when you avoid the foolish, associate with the wise, you cultivate blessing. And when you do all those 38 type of blessings, they are all very powerful and they will help you in many ways. Then you invoke the power of merits. By the power of this wholesomeness and merits, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to always avoid the foolish, beat out the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized, so that this nature can progress along the path of Dhamma easily and very sincerely. When you make all these three, what they call determination, first ask for forgiveness to cut away your karmic obstruction, then you realize your meditation transform. You will not have all those problems. Even the problem come, you will know how to overcome. Understand? Then you will come to understand that these are obstruction that will come and obstruct you. Some other people is different. Every time you want to come to Dhamma class, something will happen. it obstructs you and you cannot go on. Like last time we got one Dharma friend. She somehow cannot follow us on spiritual trip. No? Somehow the date will clash, somehow things will happen. Then cannot. Then later on, she came and talked to me. She said, "Oh, Teo, the Thailand trip that you want to go, I actually want to go, no, but I don't know whether I can go." I said, "You don't worry. You want to go, you determine, you register, then you go." Then finally she did that. No? And you know what happened when she went? On the aeroplane that day, she took the meal on the plane. All of us also took. Nothing happened to us. No? Among the whole group of 30 of us. But she went into food poisoning. No? Then she, that whole night, completely knocked off. And she came and talked to me. I saw her so pale and so like sick. No? I said, "You rest, don't worry, rest. You don't worry. Tonight you have a good rest. No need to follow our puja, everything. You have a good rest." So we asked her to rest. Then she took some medication. Well, luckily she got a very good rest. Then I said, "This is a karmic obstruction. You have to determine. Otherwise you will be obstructed." So luckily she persevered, determined. Then next morning she woke up, I saw her so much better already. Then I say, "Come, we take you around, show her." Well, the evening we arrived, he really so sick and tired, she got no time to look around. We just put her to the dormitory, she washed up, she just sleep, rest. Then next morning only I took her around. Then I say, "Got Pindapat outside, the monks, the Thai tradition, a lot of them. Achan Sumedho also was there. We were at Wat Pat Nanachang. The first time she saw monk with this type of Pindapat, or she never do before. So we teach her how to offer. There was so much joy. Only from that moment onwards she connect. Then after that, now no more obstruction. Yeah, she asked for forgiveness, everything. Then she clear everything. Last time she also had problem with meditation, was it not easy? Because of karmic obstruction. So you must know when there is karmic obstruction, you ask for forgiveness sincerely first to break. Then after that, you can move. Otherwise, very difficult. A lot of people didn't know. Karmic obstruction come that time. Whatever you do, you cannot help them. Yeah, they cannot see, they are obstructed. And all the conditions cannot help them. So I had a lot of this type of people I came to know through my past cultivation. That's why I know how to teach them. I say, "You ask for forgiveness." And you ask me who teach me. Nobody teach me. How I know? This life I never learned. It's from my past. So that's why I teach them how to do. And they break through. Then they overcome. And there are more serious cases too. Sometimes you can't even talk to that person. They are in deep depression, everything. Cannot come out. Until the parents also cannot talk to them, they are like possessed, you know? Like totally shut themselves out. See psychiatrists also, eat medication until no more effect. You know? Then very difficult. Cannot even approach them because they got a lot of fear, a lot of phobia, a lot of what they call very depressive mind state. Even like that, you can turn them around. You don't have to talk to them. But somebody close to them must do on their behalf. It must be either parent or in-law or brother, sisters. Somebody close or children. You on their behalf ask for forgiveness. On their behalf. Determine in front of the Buddha. Then determine to help. Means you determine to replace that victim. Keep the precept. Cultivate the Dhamma. Develop all the virtue, the wholesomeness, do all the dana, then make donation under their name, then invoke the power of these merits. By the power of these merits, may it arise a causal synchrony for her to recover to normal good mental state, to become a normal person again. You do it sincerely. You can see the change, the effect. Many people turn around. And these are real life situations. That person who believed me, trust me and did it, after 3 months when the thing turned around, she told me one. Because the victim and the son, they are Christian. He said, "Well, thank you so much." He said, the greatest thing in this world is to come to know you. And you know what she said, no? God's miracle also don't work that way. He didn't do anything. He just followed exactly what I say, and she wrote it on a book, on a notebook, and she keep on doing that for 3 months. Every week she see results. Every week she call me to report. Then finally, the whole thing turn around and become a normal person. And family become so beautiful again. The children all become very happy. And these are real things that really happen. And you can know how it works. So Dhamma is very beautiful, very meaningful when you understand. And it can really, really be put to practice. And it can transform living beings. It can turn the what they call suffering beings back to normal. And all of your suffering, like the Buddha said, suffering need not be the third noble truth. If you have the wisdom and the understanding, suffering is only for the deluded, the foolish, the heedless, and the ignorant one. If you have understanding, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. You only need to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the end of all suffering. Okay? So I answer your question, huh? So sloth and torpor is very easy. Don't fight them. If you're tired, bodily condition, go rest. Then after that, if you meditate, you come again. If it's a test, you will know. You allow it to be. You just silent your mind. Don't resist, don't react, don't fight. Don't try to keep away. The more you try, it's worse. Because that is the thought. If you're really sleepy and tired, you might as well mindfully come out of it. Then go for a walk. Take some fresh air. Just relax. Be natural. When you are natural and aware, you are actually in a meditative state. You meditate better. So meditation don't have to be in a formal posture. Formal posture is to train your mind to develop deeper state of silent mind. Understand? But you can train your mind in daily mindfulness too. In the bowing. In fact, the bowing is the best. Really, bowing is the best. Then you just relax, silent, and just walk naturally, but mindfully, body and mind as one. Asana. Be natural, relaxed state, just aware. Wherever your body is, your mind in harmony. Stay inside. Asana. Then from inside, aware outside. That is the real cultivation. That's why in Mahayana they say Hui Guang Fan Zhao, reflect. Reverse the light and reflect. Because this nature with the awareness, it can see everything. But if you don't reverse the light, means your senses are all external. Understand? Then your consciousness upon contact trigger off the appropriate consciousness, whether it's hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Then all these consciousness, when they arise, they are actually outwardly focused, understand not? Outwardly focused, like your eye, you see external thing in it. Your hearing, you hear external vibration in it. So everything is outside you, understand not? You never inside. That's why you never aware, understand not? So meditation is to be aware from inside, then you observe what happened at the sense door and how the mind went out to get yourself entangled with external phenomenal world. Understand? So this external phenomenal world, they are all conditioned arising state. They have the characteristics of impermanent. The moment you deludedly grasp, cling and attach, suffering will arise. Understand? And because they are impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why they are empty. They are not real. They are not you. So all this you have to develop the understanding through the direct seeing. That's why the awareness from inside will see, will understand. Then you will see very clearly what the Buddha meant by Rupang Anicchang, the five aggregate of form and mind. Form is empty. Form is impermanent. Then Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, your thought process, and your consciousness, they are also impermanent, condition arising, they come and they go. So because of that, they follow nature's law. So if one thing's your way and you grasp and hold and react, suffering will be the result. Understand now? Because you cannot own them. You cannot possess them in the sense that they are all condition arising. Dependent on condition, they arise. Then when the supporting condition is there, they will continue to exist. But when the supporting condition ceases to be, the whole phenomenon ceases to be. You say die. The Buddha say anatta, non-self, empty, come and go, So when you understand all this, your wisdom will be transformed. Your wisdom will become different. Then you will have right view, right understanding, leading to all the clarity. Then you will not be deluded by your thought. The external phenomenal world will just remain what it is, understand? Then you know how to use them, understand? You can be in the world of existence, living the life of a mundane, condition arising world. There is a lotus flower, born from the lotus pond. The roots are still within the lotus pond, understand? But the flower can stand above, understand? The lotus can stand above. So your wisdom and your nature, your understanding is like the lotus. It stands above, not affected. So this lotus understand the pond, understand? So it understands the conditioned world. It knows what the aggregate of form and mind is, the living being, the human being, the five years. So it knows how to use. It uses. It will never be deluded by it. It will not attach, cling, and grasp onto it and become afflicted by it. Then he knows this is not me. Understand? Jia xiang, false self. It's just a phenomenon, form and mind, comically conditioned out for you to use. But you cannot see that, you will be deluded by it. Then, because it behaves like it's you, so real, it animates into like a person. Yeah, it can laugh, it can become emotional, it can become sad. Then it can experience all the sense experience. Then it can arise the thought. Then you say, why you say not me? This is me. Everything that I experience in this world is so real to me. You say not me. How can I say this is so real? Flesh and blood with feeling, consciousness, everything is there. You know, you say not real. You say you must be crazy. But the Buddha knew it's not real because this is condition arising, cause of phenomenon. Looks so real. Yeah. Apparent reality. You heard of this apparent reality? Conventional reality. But ultimate reality, really, he know you, he know me. Know this, know that. That's why those who are going to Anandagiri, spiritual trip, Anandagiri, the boss is here, Joyce. She will know. He every day teach us how to chant the Heart Sutta. So Heart Sutta say very clearly, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, while he was cultivating the Prajna Paramita Sutta, perfection of wisdom. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. And she cultivated the Prajna Paramita. He said, Zao jian wu yun jie kong. He said, he saw the five aggregate of form and mind are empty. From there, he awakened. No more delusion, no more suffering. Then he said, in true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no sankhara, and no consciousness. Then there is no birth, death. There is no attainment. There is no dhamma, no form, no truth. Everything also doesn't exist. Understand? He know you, he know me. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. Then you say, how come like that one? Heart Sutta. Everything also don't have one. Because this is ultimate truth, understand? Conventional truth got Dhamma, got four noble truths, got people born, people die, people get old, and people get sick. Law of karma recognizes relationship, understand? Ultimate truth, he know you, he know me, there is nothing. Understand? So, to live in this world is not easy. You need to have wisdom of both sides, understand? You need to understand conventional truth and ultimate truth. You need to understand the conditioned world and the unconditioned. That's why there is such thing as Nibbana, the unconditioned. There is such thing as samsara, the wheel of birth and death, cycle of birth and death, the sea of birth and death. So all this is all in the teaching. If you understand, then you know how to live. If you don't understand, it becomes like very conflicting, very contradictory. Then you will always use your logic. Whatever that is logical may not be the truth. So logical according to you, because you use the thought. Whatever that is impermanent, you think is permanent. Like this chair, it has been with me for so long. Like this body, you think is real, you think is lasting. But this phenomena take longer time to disappear. Where the causes and conditions behind its arising are more stable. That's why it takes longer time to disappear. What are the causes and conditions for the arising of this rattan chair? What are they? Very good. There must be this raw material. Then there must be a manufacturer who put them together, varnish it, put them on sale. Then somehow Brother Tio or Padmasuri must have the condition to buy them. Then they arise, exist. But because this is very durable, so the condition behind its existence, they are very durable. So it will sustain its existence. But this will still decay, grow old. Then finally maybe disappear. When conditions cease to be, disappear. The condition seems to be is when they decide to sell this, change to a new set, and then gone. No? Or somebody come and steal it. Or something happened. Then gone. So condition arising thing are like that. When there is condition for it to arise, it will arise. Then the supporting condition continue, it will exist. Then the supporting condition cease to be, it will be gone. So the coming and going is impermanent. Understand? The arising of it is through condition. That's why it's empty. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that will last for eternity. Understand? There is no such thing. So because of that, you will come to understand every phenomenon in this world is like that. But some phenomena are very short, like my voice. The moment I stop speaking, no more. See? If I continue to speak, I put vibration into this microphone system, then this unit will blast out the vibration for you to listen. So hearing consciousness arise. Then you say, my voice, real, exists. Understand? But the moment I stop, no more vibration, this system doesn't, what they call, put out the vibration, your hearing consciousness cannot hear, the voice ceases to be, understand? But you don't say die, you didn't say my voice die, understand? Just like the passing car analogy I used to give, that one easier to understand. Let's say there is a passing car pass by, very noisy, you can hear them. To you, the sound, the vibration is like real, isn't it? Correct or not? Well, you can hear within your range. Then after it passed away, you cannot hear, you say, no more, cease to be. Or, you never say die, you are, this is not a human being. But to another person further down, he hear the voice. To him, he say, exist. Why you say don't exist? You are out of range, you cannot hear. But you know, if somebody there, they will hear. That sound, vibration still exists now. So what is real and what is unreal? Anything perceivable by your senses, you say real. Whatever that is beyond the range, you say not real. You can't perceive it. So real and unreal is relative truth, not ultimate truth. Understand? That's why condition arising things are all conventional truth. They are not ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is the unconditioned. So the unconditioned, you need that nature to see things as they are, not through the thought, not through the consciousness, not through the condition. You see things as they are. Means what? You see truth you see reality. What is truth? Huh? What is this two word? Truth and reality. What are they? Every religion came to teach the one. Truth, isn't it? They say my religion is the only truth, isn't it? But you must know, no, truth cannot be monopolized, no, understand? No religion can monopolize truth, no. Whatever religion that can teach to explain the way things are, listen, eh? Whatever religion that can teach the teaching to explain the way things are, then it's the truth, correct? No? Because it's according to reality, understand? No? That's why the Buddha Dhamma is the truth. That's why you have the Buddha's teaching called Dhamma. And the essence of it is the Four Noble Truths. Dhamma is truth, nature's truth. But the essence is the Four Noble Truths. That's why whatever that can explain the way things are, like the Four Noble Truths, they are the reality. Understand? Understand? Otherwise, it's not the truth. Truth means what? If I can explain the way things are, it's the truth. Like the scientist. Theory and hypothesis. Before they confirm, it's hypothesis. But once they can prove it, it becomes a theory. Understand? Means all elements behave that way. Understand? Boiling point of water at this atmospheric pressure, it will boil at 100 degrees Celsius. You put a thermometer, you test, always like that. Understand? That's why scientists, chemists, physicists, they can predict things, they can design things. That they can do a lot of things because they understand the nature's law that governs their field. The scientific law, physical law, and biological law. So when you understand truth, means you understand the way things are. You understand reality. Yeah. So religion try to monopolize truth. They are deluded. The truth cannot be monopolized. Truth is. Truth is. Truth is. You know what is or not? The isness of thing. Truth is. Means, this is a reality, you know. It's not relative. It's a reality. Relative truth is truth according to you. Truth according to me. These are not truth, no. You know what are they? Your views and opinion and my views and opinion. No. Truth, there is only one reality, you know. Whatever that can have the ability to explain the way things are is the truth. Understand? Not? So it's not your truth or my truth. No? You don't try to monopolize truth. No? Understand? Not? When you monopolize means you are deluded. No? Because that truth you try to monopolize is according to you, your religious book. Understand? Like the Christian, they say, no afterlife, only one life. After that, eternal hell or eternal heaven. To them, that is the truth, no? Truth according to their religious book. But the reality is something else. And the Buddha said there is rebirth. You can check. And the Buddha said this five aggregate of form and mind. It's not really a permanent, unchanging entity. No soul inside. You can check. You meditate, you can check. You can understand what this consciousness is. This five aggregate, you can see them. You can see the dependent origin, you can see the vulnerable, you can see how it functions in reality. Understand? So it is not your truth or my truth. Truth is just the reality. Truth is. Understand? So when you understand this, you will understand life. You will not argue with people anymore. Understand? So the reality is more important than the relative truth. So that you don't have to argue. Understand? Your truth, my truth, are only individual views and opinion, which is relative, never the reality. Relative truth is conventional truth. According to your convention, it's the truth. According to my convention, it's my truth. But the reality is not relative. It's just one aspect of nature. Yeah. So when you understand this, you will understand why the Buddha's teaching is so unique. Because his teaching points towards the truth. He never said he teach any religion. No. He said the Dhamma was there before him. He he realized it and he proclaimed it and shared it with the world, understand? Huh? That's why his teaching is very different. He teaches truth, the reality. That's why he is called the Buddha. And the other Pali word that they used to address him is, he is the Tathagata, remember? You know what is a Tathagata? Yeah? What is a Tathagata? What is Tathagata? What is Tathagata? Ah, Tathagata is suchness, yes. Suchness is the reality, understand? You cannot argue one. It is like that one, understand? That's why the Buddha said, thus have I heard. They quote the Buddha. Yeah, the Buddha said like that, understand? But it's not a person. Thus have I heard. So, Tathagata is suchness. Tathagata is an expert in suchness. Understand? Understand? He is an expert in suchness. That's why he calls himself the Tathagata. An expert in suchness. So, when we talk about truth, reality, which is supposed to be my next talk in Klang, I think. So, this is what it means. Relative truth, conventional truth, ultimate truth. Okay? Another 5 minutes. You got any more questions or any more sharing? Can you all follow so far? Okay, very good. Anybody wants to add anything or ask? Maybe one last question. If not, shall we end? We will do the closing puja. I think for some of you, you haven't rested since SJPA got the food fair morning until now. Then some of those going Ananda Kiri this morning, we had chanting 8:30 until about 10:30. Then after that, we went SJPA. Then we straight away come here. So these are the conditions behind our gathering. So once again, we recall to mind all the wholesomeness, then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we will invoke the power of merits. We will share these merits that we have all cultivated and developed with all the devas. So for those who know how you chant, or you follow the book. There is a book, a chanting book here. It's at the back. The closing puja is on your, I think, third or fourth last page. But here they have to add back the Itawata Jamihi is not here. So we will chant at first the sharing of merits with the devas. You found the thing, third last page. Anumodana under that, where you have the heading Akasatta Chibumata, sharing our merits with all the devas. Okay, let's chant together. Akasatta Chibumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Then we chant the Itawata Chamehi before the Itang Vinayaki Nahotu. Itawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Then you turn to the next page, the bottom paragraph. under Pratana. We will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. Then we invoke the aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. We help some of you.